What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. Let me get that right. Bob's got me all psyched up for doing the intro here. But this is episode 211. And this week's podcast is brought to you by Amazon.com. You can go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. That'll kind of link you to our site and click through there so that you can help support us by buying things, checking out those links in our reviews as well. Anytime you click one of those, we can kind of make some little kickback on that. So with me as always is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? You did
I'm just like, it's been a week, so
you did decent on the intro, you know. Yeah. You are single parenting since your wife is out of town on for right?
Yes. Yeah, I got so like 2 more days of this, so
you're having a little trouble. It's okay.
Can't even find time to shave.
I'm in the same boat. You know, I don't really. Nope. I don't even think I can grow a full beard. Really, no, I don't think I'm dried either. So, yeah, I'll probably shave this all off tomorrow. So, But everybody, what's up? We're podcasting here, I guess we could just jump right in. I mean. Sure. I don't know if there's anything else to really talk about. It's been cold and rainy here, so I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, it's been like back and forth weather, like kind of warm, and then like we've had snow and rain. We got a ton of rain on Sunday. It's just all over the place.
It's been cold and rainy all day today, and I'm just not a fan at all. But let's jump into our views. For everybody who is following along on the live stream, we have our full show notes page that is linked in the description. So as we go through all the different reviews and articles and everything like that, you can, you know, go ahead and follow along with us. So to start off, we talked about it last week. There was going to be a new case launched this week, and there was actually two, but one we actually reviewed, and that is the Fractal Design Define 7. So this is the seventh iteration of the Define series. Actually, it's probably more than that because there was like the R6, and then there was like the R6 USB-C where they added USB-C, and I'm sure there was other
versions. Which I don't know if I really count that. I mean, but if there was enough like change between the two, but Define 7, right?
Define 7. So this is their new take on the Define series. I would say that Define series is one of those cases that does a lot, and it gives you a lot of value. At least historically, they've done that. With this version, I think they've really done those things, plus made it a lot easier to switch between the different layouts and everything like that. And just the changes that they've made from this, from the Define R6 to this case, are they like that case was already good in my opinion, but to see the changes that they made, it's just really really good what they did. So if you're not familiar with the Define series, this is kind of what it looks like. It's sort of like that sleek, boxy look. You're either going to hate it or you're going to love it. We have the white version, which has a silver front. A black version as well. No gunmetal on this one, if people were looking for that. Some people do like that color. But you have all of that. And then the front is actually a full door. And you, what's cool about the door, again, this is talking about like functionality with this case. I think this case is super functional, is that the door opens to the right, but you see these like holes here. You can take out the hinges and put them on this side, and you can see the hinge, you know, on this side, and you can actually move it to the opposite side. So depending on your setup or however you, just easier to open. It's just a thing that they've done that I don't think anybody else does. To make it easy to open that door.
Right. Like how many doors do you even see on the front of cases anymore? Not many, right?
Yeah, exactly. We have sound dampening material. So historically, the Define series has been a more silent case. So we have sound dampening material on this front door. We have our large ventilation, which this is a filter that comes out. And then we have a
What is that thing, right?
There's a 5 1/4 inch drive bay. And, you know, for this type of case, it does make sense just for the fact that this case can be configured with up to 14 hard drives. So for people pulling data or burning things or, you know, still need that optical drive, you have it here. I like that we have the door so it's hidden so it doesn't ruin the front of the case. But you do have it there. And if you're not using it, this is also ventilated. And it's a filter as well. Like this cover is a filter, so you can take it off and clean it and all that fun stuff. And when you take the front off, which easily pops off, you'll get two 140 millimeter cooling fans. Since we have the white version, they are white, and the black version, they're black. And then on the front, we have a full length filter. So this filter easily comes out from the front and it extends the entire bottom of the case. So you have, you know, some really nice filters there. The top of the case is pretty plain, as you can see. And then you have all of your connections. Things to note here is you have a total of five USB connections, two USB 3.0, two USB 2.0, and a USB 3.1 Type-C here as well. So big power button, smaller reset button. It's pretty typical. But the cool thing about this case is that, you know, you're thinking like...
I was worried when I first saw that. I was like, oh, what have they done to this case? And then I obviously ran along.
You know, if you want silence, this is the top to go, right? But if you want airflow or a higher airflow, they actually include this ventilated panel right here. It comes with a case. It's no extra cost or anything like that. It comes in the accessories box. And you can easily pop these off. When you pop it off, you have another filter that you can take out. And you have the cooling bracket, which can also be fully taken out. You can fit up to a 420 millimeter radiator, three 140 millimeter fans. And it has the fill port if you're doing custom water cooling. And the main panel, this panel right here, has the sound dampening material on it as well. So it just allows you to kind of pick and choose, you know, the what you're going for. If you want better cooling, you have the ventilated panel. If you want silence, you have the plain panel, which I really like.
Yeah, that versatility is awesome. And the fact that they include that, like, extra panel in there, it's not an extra cost. That's so nice.
Talking about that, we have a tempered glass side panel. They will offer a version that just has a normal side panel. And this is, you know, your typical panel. This is going to show off everything in the case, which I really like. There is no, it's not tinted or smoked or anything like that. The black version, there is a SKU that's called like the blackout edition that has a tinted window for those.
And you can get it with a standard side panel though as well, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So this opposite side panel, that would be the other standard side panel that you would get.
Okay. Yep.
And then onto the back, the cool thing about the side panels is there's no screws on them whatsoever.
Yep.
Which is really one of my favorite things about this case is there's these little buttons here. You press those over and they release the panel. So as you can see, like, you know, tempered glass side panels, you usually have a screw or something in here. You don't have anything. There's no screws. It's just a clean look. And, you know, some people take that for granted, but after looking at so many cases, I'm just like, it's just nice to see that. I just really, really like that. In the chat, Space Ghost said that he finally upgraded his R9 390 to an RX 3600 Windforce. It's all good except it freezes my computer. I would say the first thing there would be drivers.
Yep,
when it comes to AMD.
That's kind of what I was thinking there.
And not just upgrade all of your drivers completely, like on all of, you know, that's a brand new card. So I would upgrade like your motherboard drivers, everything. I think that's kind of the way to go there. But back to the case, internally, you see you have another fan. It's another 140 millimeter fan. So three fans included with the case, pretty standard layout. If you take the opposite side panel off of the case, again, more sound dampening material there.
So those panels are surprisingly heavy. I know on the R6 that I have, like, you take those panels off and you're like, how much does this material weigh? But it does such a good job with that sound dampening.
Yeah, it really does.
It's pretty interesting.
So you have that. And then when you take the back panel off, there's some really interesting things here. So one is typically the fan hub would be in the center here. They've redesigned it and moved it to the top, which makes it so much easier to route cables. You don't have a massive, you don't have four fans connected into the center part and going all over and making the back of your case look ugly.
Yep.
It's all at the top there. It's been redesigned. The fan hub supports three PWM fans, and then I think 6 three-pin fans as well. It's right at the top, like I said. I really like that design change. Another design change is that they have the cable guides now, which I think make it just much easier to route your cables. They have built-in Velcro straps, and there's two more Velcro straps over to the side here. I like that as well. These components use a SATA power connection, not Molex, which is nice as well. You have two 2.5-inch SSD mounts. They are removable. They are made of metal. They come right off the back of the motherboard tray. And then you have this little interesting guy right here. If you can see, I think I have a better picture of it, maybe. Yeah, I do. So this is their new multi-bracket. This comes with a case. And what this does is it allows you to mount a 2.5-inch or 3.5-inch hard drive. But it also doubles as a mount for a pump or for a reservoir. So typically, when it comes to cases, a res mount or a pump mount would be extra. Mm-hmm. And what's great about this is that it can be mounted on any 120 millimeter mount in the case. It also can be mounted in the front of the case. You can see these holes here. That's what they're for. So typically, you would find like a pump res would go kind of like right here. And it's already ready to go for you. So you wouldn't have to buy that extra piece that, again, other cases, it costs extra when it comes to that stuff. So you have that. And then you have the new cable guard thing. Mm-hmm. It kind of just separates the bottom half of the case, from the top. And it covers up all of that cable mess, I think.
Yeah. And even though that's like a solid side panel there on that side, a lot of times you're like, when you're putting that side panel on, you're kind of pushing in on those cables every now and then when they're kicking out. But this panel, really helps out with that.
It completely eliminates that. It's made of plastic. It is thicker plastic, but it's...
That's all right. It's internal. I don't mind it being plastic, really.
And then at the bottom, you have, of course, where your power supply is going to go. And then you have two hard drive trays in this cage. They're all removable. They're metal. The cage is metal. You can actually move the cage back and forth if you need to fit larger hardware or a longer power supply. You can go ahead and do that. You can completely remove this cage as well. So a lot of functionality just in this like stock configuration. Mm-hmm. But then you go ahead and you move to the storage configuration. So basically what you do is you take that pan like this. Let's see here if I can go up to it. You take this part of the case right here.
Yep.
And you move it to the opposite side. So as you can see here, I've gone ahead and I've moved it to this side now. And now I'm in the storage configuration. And what they do is they include four more of these trays. And as you can see, the trays mount in there. So by default, you would have six trays total, but you can actually buy more. But by default, you have 6, 7, 8, and you can actually fit a hard drive there. So I think 9 hard drives by default in this case, up to 14 total. So this gives you the flexibility if you wanted like a high storage build or if you didn't. And even if you put this here, you can still fit, I think, over 300 millimeter graphics cards in. So you wouldn't really be blocking all that much if you did go for the high storage layout.
Yep.
So
how difficult is it to move that panel? Because I know on the R6, it took quite a few screws and was kind of a pain to do. Is it a lot easier?
That's the difference. And I said in the beginning about this case was that they made things a lot easier. So really all you do is you need to have the front popped and the top popped, which these pop off so easily. Mm-hmm. They just pop right off. You remove 5 screws, you take it out, you move it over, you put in 5 screws. That's it.
Cool.
There's 3 on the top or 1 on the top and then or 2 on the top and then 4 or no, that's 6. I can't. There's 1 on the top and 3 on the front of it. You can see one that's like right there. Okay. It's really easy to do. Cool. That was a big thing because there's been a lot of cases that offer this type of functionality, high storage and, you know, modular internal layout, but to actually change the layout was never worth it, right? It was just, you know, so I actually, you know, to take these pictures for you guys and to show you it, I did it and then I moved it back to the basic layout to do my install.
The build, yeah.
Yeah. So that was like it was super easy. If it was, because I had an R6 and I knew what it was like to change that layout, and that was one of the things I hope they changed, and they did. So you can see our build here. It came together pretty well. We have a pretty clean layout, but just like every case that we've seen recently, we have this. And yeah, like, it's a USB 3.1, but it's a X570 motherboard. You know what I mean? It's just like, see this cable routing hole? Why isn't there another one right here?
Yeah.
And I think I'm not sure the reason.
That power supply, maybe. I mean, I know they put the one to the left there, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So,
a good answer.
I was a little bit upset that, like, I have this cable mess that you can see, obviously, with the window. You know, I just wasn't the biggest fan of that. Besides that, this case is absolutely amazing. It is selling for $169.99, which I think with everything that it comes with the quality, like, there's hardly any plastic in this case. Yeah. And that's something that Fractal Design has always traditionally had, is like really high quality. The functionality and what you're getting. So, you know, again, that ventilated top panel that comes with the case, the three included fans that come with the case,
140 millimeter,
right? 140 millimeter, yeah. Three 140s. You're getting the four extra hard drive trays that come with the case if you wanted to do the high storage layout, you know. And the fact that I think, again, by default, that would be 6, 7, 8. I think by default, with what's included with the case, I think it's up to 9 hard drives, maybe 8 or 9, which is quite a lot stock.
Yeah.
You have the multi-bracket that doubles as a pumper res mount, which you would have to pay extra for in other cases. So it's just like a lot of value, I think. As far as water cooling, 360 in the front, 420 in the top, and I think you can do a 280 in the bottom as well. If you remove that hard drive cage, you could do a 280 in the bottom with still room for your power supply. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. Again, the only thing is that mess that was the bottom mounting for our bottom headers and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think this is going to be one of the best cases of 2020, just from a functionality standpoint. And again, the look of the case, you're either going to hate or you're going to love, but I think it is a really great case. So
yeah, I mean, it's a pretty popular case. It's one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, definitely check the review out. And we'll jump to our giveaway. We are giving one of these away. So super easy to enter. It is US only, but it's 15 days left on the contest. So a lot of time to get your entries in. 15 different ways to enter. And yeah, we're giving away the white one as well, so which was my favorite out of all of them. So definitely get your entry in for that. So I'm pretty excited for the giveaway. And we'll move over to your review this week. And you took a look at a AIO from AlphaCool.
I did. There it is. So yeah, I looked at the 360 millimeter version of the Ice Bear Aurora CPU cooler. So yeah, 360 degree setup. There's a couple of pretty unique features about it. One, it's an expandable loop, which is pretty nice. So you have the option with this kit, kind of totally opposite of other kits, they're all in ones that you see most of the time. They're just a sealed unit. You're never going to open them up. You know, you open them up and then it's essentially ruined, but they've got a couple options here. Bob's got the image up now. That's kind of their quick connect fitting there that came from their Enterprise Solutions group. Same thing with that tubing. So that this connector here allows you to, you know, add another radiator. If you want to throw in a GPU block, you can do that. And then there's also a port on the pump res block combo unit as a fill port, right? So if you need to add a little more coolant in there after you've added those additional components, so that's nice. You can kind of expand that, you know, that the pump and reservoir and all the components there are capable of adding some additional components to the loop. Like I said, some of those parts came from their Enterprise Solutions group, so that pipe, the tubing there, is actually a little more resistant to heat, so you're not going to get the kinking that you might get with other materials. When they get warmer, they become more pliable and kink easier. And then it just adds up to longer a lifespan with that material as well. Looking at that image there, you know, any of them of the block, the water block, they've got, it's called the Ice Bear, right? So bear is in the name. So it's got a little bit of a bear aesthetic on a couple sides and the top of the block itself. For me, I'm not really a big fan of that. Like, look, like it's, I said it in the review, I'm like, it's kind of cheesy, but you know, whatever. It does also have addressable RGB lights on the block, as well as on the three included fans. So it does look nice when it's lit up. And then those couple images there, right? It's got a really nice polished nickel-plated copper base. I don't
think I've seen a base this polished in a long time.
It's nuts. I'm trying to think. There was one other I had one time that was very similar, but it's like a mirror. I mean, it's the really high-polished nickel there. Obviously, that's a reflection of me taking an image, and then another side shot. The picture looks blurry, but it's because if you look at the block, right? It's reflecting into my room there. So
that's awesome.
And then those are the a quick look at those their fans there. Those are the Aurora Lux Pro fans from them, 120 millimeter models. They have a foam at each corner, so you've got a little sound dampening and vibration reduction there, which is nice. One thing I will note though is the fan blades on these are noticeably smaller than a standard 120 millimeter fan. So you know,
I think it's because they had to make room for the
RGB, well, absolutely, right? Yeah, they've got a really thick chassis and frame for the fan, so probably have to spin a little quicker in order to get the same amount of airflow as other similar sized fans. But, and you know, just your standard accessories come with it, fan splitters, you've got a little RGB controller there, but it's also compatible with, you know, motherboards.
And then going into talk about installation, because we talk about this. Yeah. And that can kill a product. Right. How was the block installation? Was it easy?
Block install wasn't bad. So one thing that I, you know, is a little tough is it's actually pretty easy, but you have these clips that slide into the bottom of the water block itself. So in that first picture there, I've got one half of it in, you slide the other half over and they kind of clip to each other and hold each other in. There's no screws holding it in. It's really just a pressure fitting between the two. They kind of snap together. So if you have to take that block off, it takes a little bit of work to unsnap them from each other. Like,
gotcha.
So that's just something to keep in mind. That's where, like I said, in the review, reading over the instructions is pretty important because it does make a difference on this block, which side is up and the recommended side. So just keep that in mind there. And then, yeah, we've got a couple screws on the end with springs. You do have to take off. In our case, we have an AMD test system, so we're using the AM4 mounting hardware. We do have to take off those blocks that come pre-installed on your motherboard, but really that's just four screws, and then you place these four screws in. And
so you use the AMD backplate?
Yes, you do. You use the AMD backplate for that installation, correct. So, nice. Yeah, we've got those taken off there, add a little thermopaste, and throw the block on.
Nice.
Placement of the fill port looks awkward to refill without adding air to the loop. Otherwise, I feel like it. Yeah, I mean, adding air to the loop, really with anything. Sorry, I'm talking through chat here. Old man was making a comment there.
Fill port.
Yeah, adding liquid to any loop really is potential to add air to the system. So, you know, a little bit of rotating your case as best you can when it's on will kind of help out with that. But kind of like we talked about, you know, the fan hub there, actually I'm installing it in the Define R6, which is kind of funny. But there's a little bit of cable mess when you consider three RGB fans. So you've got not only their power connection, but their lighting cabling as well. But it's, you know, as long as you take your time and sort things out, you can make a good use of your space.
And the fans aren't daisy chainable.
They are daisy chainable, correct.
They are, but with wires, right? There's no like little wire that
you've seen like there's a little plug on the frame of the fan or something. No, they're all daisy chainable via cables.
Gotcha. Correct. And then when you have it all together, I think the lighting is really nice on this.
It is. The colors turn out really nice. Multiple, you know, light settings you can adjust with that controller. You can adjust the speed, the colors of certain
lighting settings. I assume it's all one, right? So you're not controlling the
individual fans.
You're not controlling the fans independent of the block.
Correct, because the block also has not only has its power connection to run the the pump. It also has a RGB connection as well, which is daisy chained into that.
Because there is the controller, there's no software control on this.
Correct. It's just that hardware controller. Gotcha.
And then the CPU is all PWM based.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yep. So yeah, no, the lighting looks good. Performance wise, I was pretty happy with it. Idle temperatures. Idle temperatures were tied for our best so far in our new test bench there. At 24 degrees, you know, that it kind of makes sense that it's performs the best. It's the largest one that we've tested so far on this setup. So the idle temp of a 360 millimeter kit was also tied with the Corsair H115i, which is a 280 millimeter kit. But really, at these idle temperatures, they're all pretty favorable. Yeah. But then once we put a load on this, it was really impressive, being quite a bit of a difference between this system and the next one up. Right, we go from 37 degrees to 44 degrees.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it was huge. It was great. Very impressed with the performance.
How's of this the kit. Noise
isn't bad at all. That's running, you know, less than 1,000 RPMs on the fans, so you're really not hearing the system at all.
Nice. And then you gave it
I believe I gave it a 9 out of 10 and nice. Recommended.
Nice.
Yeah, so good performance. That it's all copper components as well, right? The radiator is a copper core. A lot of times on these AIOs, to save money, manufacturers will throw in an aluminum core and still use copper in the block. And then you have to worry about those metals reacting with each other and causing issues down the line. But this Alpha Cool kit uses all copper cooling components, which is really nice there. So you get a little better performance there. Can you scroll down just a bit to my pros and cons? The tubing felt a little bit short on installation, especially on a 360 millimeter size. When you get the fittings that far away from your CPU, it can make installation and just working inside the case a little more difficult. And then obviously I'm not a fan of the bare aesthetic, but that's, you know, personal preference.
Yeah, I think the price is really good. Yeah, so
the price is pretty nice.
It's not available on Amazon yet.
Nope.
But you can buy it directly from Alpha Cool. And if you convert euros, it's $157, which
is 360 millimeter expandable all in one with RGB lighting.
Yeah. And I know you don't get software control, but you do get the RGB controller. I mean,
yeah,
I like that, you know.
No, I think the value is there. Not much holding it back, really.
Yeah, so definitely check out that review as well. Pretty impressed by that. I think that just, you know, just using a copper core radiator gives them probably a lot better performance. Yep. And you're not going to find many of these other brands, the Corsairs, the Thermaltakes, any of the other brands, like besides EK, I don't know who else in their AIO line is using copper core.
Right.
So definitely check out that review. Very awesome kit there. And then I took a look at a super fast portable hard drive, which I'm a fan of. You guys, we talked about it last week. I took a look at the ADATA SE800. This is sort of like the next generation from their SE730H or something like that I reviewed last year. Has the exact same design. So it's an all metal design that is IP68 rated. Which means if you have the cap closed, there's a little cap here that you open up for the connections. If you do have the cap closed, it is waterproof as well as dustproof. It also passes a military spec for shockproofing, which makes sense because there's no moving parts in it. So it should be able to do that.
And they're so lightweight anyways, too. Like dropping them is like nothing.
Yeah. And the metal housing is just nice. I mean, you can throw this thing around. You don't have to worry about it getting all messed up. They've gone with this blue that we got here, but they also have a black version. The previous version was available in, I think, gold and red. So I do like the blue and I do like the black for this as well. As I said, you have this little cap that kind of comes off and that reveals your Type-C connection. This is a USB 3.2 Gen 2. So to get the full speed, you will need a USB 3.2 Gen 2 port on your laptop or on your motherboard. And they do provide a, last time they just provided the Type-C to Type-C. This time they also provide a Type-C to Type-A. So if you had an older, an older board that didn't have a Type-C, but had a, maybe a USB 3.1 Gen 1, and you still can get pretty fast speeds that way, you have this here as well. And then going into our testing, this drive is one of the fastest drives that we have reviewed. It, they say it's around 1,000 megabytes a second or 1 gigabyte a second read and write. A lot of times, especially when you don't review the higher capacity drive, it will be a little bit lower. But I mean, 941 megabytes a second read and 851 megabytes a second write is very fast for, yeah. for a USB, for a portable USB drive. That is very, very fast. Very close to that 1 gigabyte a second. If you look at our results, the only thing that beat it was the Patriot. I forget how to say this. Evolver, however you want to say it. And that is because that was actually a Thunderbolt 3 drive. This is just USB 3.2 Gen 2. And you can see the SC730H from last year was about half the speed. So big difference there from, you know, the previous generation, which I like to see. Again, the speeds are just great on this. And I think with a lot of these drives, you're going to see that type of speed. You know what I mean? You're going to see very, very fast speeds across this entire drive. You know, I really didn't find anything wrong with this. It's a portable drive that's made to be fast. The speeds are there. I like the form factor. I like the metal casing. I do like that it does have the IP68 rating. A lot of people might not think that, like, be a big deal, but I think, like, I remember last year I went on a hiking trip and I had my camera backpack, which does have like the waterproof tarp thingy, but it started pouring down rain and we're like 2 miles. We're 2 miles into the woods. So it was like, we weren't getting cover anytime soon. And I put the cover on my bag and we ran back, but I mean, the inside of my bag still got wet. So like, I had the older one, the SC730, in there, and it was fine. You know what I mean? So there's those chance moments where something might happen, or like, you know, you just might drop it out in a puddle or something. It's just good that it has that. And I think the price is good. The 512 gigabyte version is $99. So that's not bad at all. And Old Man said that's faster than SATA 3. It definitely is. And that's why I like it. I edit a lot of video on the go. And I, and, you know, that's what I use for my editing drive. So I can switch it between my main computer, you know, and my laptop and things like that. So just, I love the speed. So we have actually two more of these USB 3.2 Gen 2 drives. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, this drive fares against those. But those will be in the future. But like I said, I gave it a 10 out of 10. If you're looking for super fast portable storage, this is definitely a drive that would be on the top of my list for sure. So we will move on to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a really interesting build in a test sort of bench thing.
I love these cases.
I love this brand and what they've been doing, especially with this one. This is a... the Hydra mini build from Dutch PC Builds. And this Hydra test bench is awesome. They make a full-size one as well. But this is the mini ITX version. And what he has done is he's actually modified this with another, like this back plate here for the radiators, as well as this, you know, the top mounting for the pump res here. And I just think that, you know, if you've seen like this Hydra Mini, it is tiny. And the fact that he's able to add this stuff on and still keep like something that you could easily pick up, right? And just take to like a LAN party. is completely awesome. And it's also cool to see a build that works well, I think, without hard tubing, right?
Yeah, I mean, you look at these and they just look so stealthy, right? That tubing looks, it's got that matte black finish. Those fittings are awesome. I love that plate at the top. While it kind of looks like a distro plate, with all those connections with those EK fittings in the middle, it's just like a panel that those tubes are going through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it looks awesome. I love how the blocks look. I guess the GPU block is polished, and then it's just got that nice brushed metal and black look.
Yeah. And here's the back where like he just made this custom housing for the radiators.
Yeah. And those fittings I'm in love with. Those just look awesome.
Yeah. Everything about this is just really, really cool. And I think a lot of people have been asking like how he did this, because I think a lot of people have tried to do builds with the Hydra Mini, and it's just, it's so small, and to make it look like you haven't added on like this monstrosity of something, I think that this build is just awesome. So definitely check it out. Definitely check out Dutch PC Builds. We have their Facebook linked here. Just awesome. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And then back to contest. We already talked about the Define 7 that you can win, but we still have 2 days left for our $50 gift card contest. So if you're listening to this early enough, or you're on the live stream and you haven't entered yet, just go up to contests right here on the website, and then you can go ahead and get your entry in. 2 days left, $50 gift card to any online store. As long as I can buy you a digital gift card for it, I'll buy you a digital gift card for it. So 11 different ways to enter this one. This is completely worldwide. Again, as long as I can buy you a $50 gift card in your currency or however, whatever it may be, get your entry in, and we'll be announcing that in, it seems like, 2 days. So pretty excited about that one. And we'll move on to news. And we have some information on Big Navi, or the supposed 4K card coming from AMD. I think this is Lisa Su, AMD CEO, talked about it. They said they will have it this year. There will be a Big Navi card. Everybody's super excited about it. I think for the cost perspective compared to like a 2080 Ti, if it can compete at that level. So pretty exciting. So the first little bit of news is that these new AMD listings had hit the Korean RRA certification. So to get something into Korea, it has to go through the certification, which has a, just like the what's the other one? The U...
Is it that CIS?
I forget the other one. The Europe one or whatever. Yep. But in any case, all these records are public. They have to be made public. And if you look at this list, we have this whole list of all these cards and the model numbers and when they were registered. And the interesting thing is that AMD registered two cards on this list, the D1302 and D18206. And then a month later, we had the RX 5700 and RX 5700 XT and RX 5700. And then the RX 5500, which was the D18902. This was registered November 27th. And then the card was released December 12th. And then same thing with the 5600 XT on this list. So we do see the new entries are the D32310 and D30201, which were listed on February 3rd and February 19th. So, you know, typically it's a month later we see a card. Quick, yeah. So could this be Big Navi? We don't know. It is something that's like, okay, pretty, this is a new card. Right? Yeah. Based on previous releases, yes, this looks like it is Big Navi, but that's all we know. But our next story makes you think that there's, it might be real. Info,
yeah.
So we see that D323.
Same number again, yeah, right?
In this screenshot or picture of a screen, which again might be fake, we don't know. From SK Hynix. And SK Hynix, if you're not familiar, they mainly make memory, but they also make SSDs. And a lot of their memory is used in graphics cards. And if we look at this, we see this, you know, whatever this is, this D32310, you know, we see 5,120 shading units, which would be stream processors, 80 compute units, 320 TMUs, 96 ROPs, and 24 gigabytes of HBM2E storage. One, this many stream processors is double that we saw from Navi 10. And having 24 gigabytes of HBM2 is a lot.
Yeah.
For HBM2, HBM2 is supposed to launch this year, or HBM2E is supposed to launch this year. And it's 24 gigabytes. Maybe this is like the
max.
Yeah, like the max or the enterprise sure. version or something. Probably would be 16 gigabytes on the, or 8.
On a consumer type card, yeah.
Yeah, or 12 or something like that, you know? Yep. But this just like, you know, you see the same number that was registered. Again, this could be, it could be fake. We don't know. But you see over here in, this is Chinese, right?
What? No, that's Korean.
That's Korean? Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Or it looks Korean to me.
Yeah. You see 5950 XT PCB. So like my thought on what this could be is this is like, you know, and you see, you know, their 2019 earnings, blah, blah, blah. Like, and you see 2020, like this could be like an outlook being like, okay, our memory is going to be used in these cards. This is their,
yep.
you know, for like an investor or something like that.
And sorry, back to the Korean thing. Yeah. It's, I mean, SK Hynix is a South Korean company, so sorry.
No, yeah. Totally over my head. So yeah, so we don't know. But that's kind of like the big thing this week is just like, this could be it. It's coming soon. For all the AMD people out there. Old Man said, isn't Navi what they're gonna be using in Xbox? I think
it's something a little different.
It's AMD.
It is AMD, yes, absolutely. But
I know the stuff from Xbox is custom made for the Xbox.
Right. You're not gonna
I think the architecture is Navi, though. Like the actual GPU architecture is Navi. I'm pretty sure. So I don't know specifically. I know they did release something came out this week. I didn't post about it because I don't cover console stuff, but I'm pretty sure that that was
that what I'm seeing here on an article is just a custom Navi based GPU.
But talk about AMD if you're super excited about boy. If you're super excited about, you know, a big Navi and or you're rocking a Ryzen processor and you want to, you know, get some AMD gear, they opened a poorly designed fan shop where you can buy gear if you want to, which I think is cool. I think it's long overdue, honestly. Like, who doesn't want like a Ryzen t-shirt? I have two, which AMD sent me. But you know, like, who doesn't want this stuff? And if you go to the fan
I hate this page because it's like we've renovated and we'll be adding more new. And you think, all right, here's your featured products. Well, they're featured, and that's all there is, too, right?
No, if you go to there's a lot more.
Oh, is there? Okay. All right.
They have they took off their custom. Cool. Wait, did they take off their Ryzen thing? Oh, they don't have the special edition thing anymore. I guess they sold out of it. Sure. But you could see they have for all their sub brands like Radeon, Epic, Ryzen, and Threadripper, they do have shirts. Hmm. Basically, they have a shirt. A women's shirt, a men's shirt, a hoodie, and a hat, which you'll be able to get. That's kind of what they have. These pictures are horrible.
Oh, yeah, they had that limited edition.
Yeah, they did have, Fox, which was really cool. It was like
when Ryzen first came out, right?
Yeah, so they had this limited edition set, which was $150 bucks, which gave you a Ryzen hoodie, a Ryzen t-shirt, a Ryzen hat, and it comes in a... I assume it's a limited edition wood Ryzen box, which I actually have. It's I should have brought it down. It's up there. And that's what they sent first gen Ryzen review samples. And it was really cool to get like something like that from a company. But they, that's not on the, on the, it's not here anymore under Shop All. It's not there. And if you go to Ryzen, it's not there. And it's not under the 125 to 150. So I assume that sold out. I think a lot of people want it. And that's a pretty good deal. I mean, you know, all that stuff together, you're getting the you're getting t-shirt, hat, hoodie in the box. Yeah. And the hoodies are $65.99. T-shirts, $24.
That seems a little high, but I guess they're a New Era brand. So, I mean, they're
decent. Oh, yeah. That's decent stuff. Yeah. But yeah, if you, like I said, and then for like the main AMD brand, they do have this jacket, this fleece jacket. Mm-hmm. And then they have this polo for $50.
Nice stuff.
And then they have the tumblers, AMD tumbler glasses for $20. So if you want to support AMD or just show everybody that you're an AMD fanboy, I'm kind of, this Radeon is ugly. I'm not a fan of this at all.
Yeah.
It's just, especially for $65, like, yeah. Could have done better on the Radeon stuff, but the Ryzen stuff looks good in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, we have the link to the store if you want to pick up some gear from AMD. And that brings us to another AMD story. Who would have thought? This is like the AMD podcast, but there really hasn't been a whole lot of news. But this news comes from Lenovo, and they've updated their ThinkPad portfolio with Ryzen 4000 series parts, yep. Mobile parts, and they're the first vendor to offer Ryzen Pro 4000 mobile processors. We have all the information on all the different units, but they'll be available in both Intel and AMD, but they will have an AMD SKU for each part, which is great for AMD. Yep. This Lenovo is a huge player in the laptop market, so having them as a customer is huge for them. And it's, I think a lot of companies, especially with the shortages on mobile parts when it comes to Intel.
Yeah.
A lot of companies, we saw Microsoft do it with the Surface. There's a Ryzen. I mean, that was a custom part, but
yeah.
And then there's rumors about Apple coming out with an AMD powered MacBook or MacBook Pro.
I faced the shortages multiple times, like at work. Ordering components and them getting canceled. So yeah, plus I'd love to have the option of buying AMD systems from a vendor, right? Having just the choice.
The choice between
performance
the
two, and price and everything.
Yeah. So we have all the information on all the ThinkPads and everything like that. But it's just good. It's like good to have because especially when it comes to laptops, it's always been Intel.
Yeah.
And like the parts that AMD offered before were never really competitive. It's like, if I really want to save money, but I know it's not going to be
like, you're saving money, but like your experience is going to be horrible.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this could have been a laptop, but with the AMD part, it's like a netbook.
It's a netbook. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it was before. You never went the AMD route when it came to laptops, but I think I'd wait for a lot of these reviews to come out. Cause there's a couple, I think Asus announced, right after this, they announced one of their gaming laptops with one of these processors in it. So I'd wait for the reviews, but I think it's going to be competitive, which is going to be awesome. So yeah, back to more news. I don't know what else we have this week. There's not a whole lot. Oh, okay. Nope. So the other case that was released this week is a very interesting case.
It is.
You don't like it?
That's fine.
What do you tell us what you don't like about it?
No, it's fine.
So it's from NZXT, who we haven't had a major case launch from in a while, right?
Yeah, nothing comes to mind.
Like the H700i. Yeah, like that was like the last big one in my. Mm-hmm. So. If you want to explain it, you can go ahead.
No, go ahead. It reminds me of that Fantex
Evolve.
Like the Evolve, right? Which I think I liked better because you weren't as stuck with the component choices that this has. So this reminds me of the Evolve and then the Corsair One
yes,
build where it's like some of the components you just don't get to choose, which I understand, like sacrificing that component choice for layout and compatible, you know, design and everything. So that's all. That's my only complaint about it. I think it looks great. I think it'll do well.
Yeah. So this is designed as a vertical mini ITX case where you have obviously a ton of ventilation on both sides. And then on the other sides, or at least, is it on both sides? No, it's only on one side.
There's three sides of ventilation.
Yeah. Three sides of ventilation. Then one side, you have a window, white and black versions, white and black versions. Why does this look black? Is the interior all black and this is just white?
I think it's just that external piece that's...
Okay, yeah, I see now. So maybe not white and black version. I don't know. In any case, the interesting thing about this case, besides its vertical layout, which we have seen, as Ryan said, in the Fantex Evolve series, in the Corsair One, and a couple other cases, the interesting about this is that it comes with the power supply, with the cable that you need to do, you know, the actual power connection down here. And it comes with a, is that 140 millimeter AIO or is it 120?
I'm looking right now.
I believe.
Either way, I think it's a pretty unique design because I'm almost positive that the pump is in the radiator on this one.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense to save on. Yeah.
You've got some space savings and then maybe some patent stuff as well there.
So you get that, and then you get a riser card as well that allows you to install a two-slot card on the opposite side of the motherboard, which allows you to obviously save space. It's all included, which is nice, I think. But... I don't know how big this is actually, but it's not, I mean, what, like, I'm trying to get this in frame here, but I mean, it can't be, is it the same size as a mid tower, like vertically? I would say it's the same size as a mid tower vertically.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you've got that power supply mounted vertical and it's a smaller power supply anyways, but if you think that fan's like 140 millimeters in size, maybe it's a little shorter than a standard
case. Old Man asked if this is going to be the new trend, small vertical cases. We have seen a few of them. I don't think it's going to take people away from, you know, mid tower, full tower cases, just for the fact that a mini ITX system is very limited. You're only going to get one M.2 slot. You're only going to get one, if you're doing multiple graphics cards or you want any other expansion slots, you only get one X16 slot.
It'd be a lot more careful with component choices, right? Like,
yeah, you're getting less USBs. I mean, you're getting a lot of, you're not going to get as much. But I do think that a case like this is perfect, like sitting on your desk, you know, you do a Ryzen X570 board with a 2600 or, you know, something like that, and a nice 2080 Super. A 2080 Ti in there, and like that is the LAN rig, and this should be easy enough to pick up and take with you, right?
Yep.
And it looks like you have room for at least two hard drives.
They use kind of like these little pressure connections in there. They're just like super easy to install drives in,
which would be more than enough. Plus, you have the M.2 on probably the backside of your mini ITX board. I mean, that's,
you know, my other complaint about this is the price.
Okay, yeah. So the case itself, with the power supply, the AIO, and the riser is $239. So if you think about it,
no, it is $349.
What? I thought it was two. No, that's a lot.
It's $349.
Yeah, I guess you're right. $349, right there. I guess you're right. Okay, so if we think about it, let's just try to do a cost analysis here. Okay. A 140 millimeter AIO is what, $80?
Yeah.
Right.
There's like no lighting on it.
$80. A 650 watt power supply. What's the rating on the power supply?
I would say it's probably a gold.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So 650 watt, like that's like what? I don't
know. Yeah, it's 80 plus gold, sorry.
Okay, yeah. So that's probably what, another $80?
Yeah, 100. Just say 100.
Just so, you're at 180. Yep. And then a riser cable is decently expensive, are they not?
Yeah, but okay, another what, $50?
Yeah, maybe? So 50. So what is that total? You math guide, go.
Oh, wait, I'm in charge. What did we say? Yeah, we said 80 and then 100, right?
80, 100, 230. Yep. So what does that leave us left? So 100.
Yeah.
Which would be for the chassis. 330,
yeah. $120 chassis.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of pushing it, right?
Yeah.
I do like the idea of this for ease of build, right? Like, you're going to be able... So I've done many ITX builds. You're going to be able to move this, the pump block out. I assume you'll be able to like move it out so you can put it on the board and then put the board in there, right? You're not going to have a hard time fitting the graphics card because it has its own spot on the opposite side of the case right here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The power supply is in there. It's made to be small. Like, I think for an instant, like, again, NZXT has been kind of on this thing of like ease of use for the user, right?
Right.
So I think that solves that problem. They're also going to have a build. They're custom pre-builds called BLD or build. They'll have one with this as well. So, yeah. Yeah, it says components are valued over $250. Minus the case, so
okay.
Yeah, it's fair. I think that there's better cases.
It seems like a lot for a case, a cooler, and a power supply.
Yes,
for the size. But then again, like, you think about a $200 case, or that Fractal case, right, was $169. Is that right? So I mean, you start adding in a 650-watt power supply and a, you know, 120-millimeter cooler, you're back
in a riser cable
and a cable. So
yeah, I think this is, I would really like to see this. I haven't even looked at any of the reviews to really get its size, but I think it would look sick on your desk. I think like it's going to look really nice on your desk. So yeah. We might be getting one of these into review. I'm not sure yet. They emailed us, but I haven't, emailed them back. But yeah, that was the other big release this week. I like it. I think it's cool. It's different. So we'll have to see what it's really all about. I haven't watched any. I know a bunch of YouTubers put out videos on it already, so I haven't even had time to watch that. Our last little bit of news comes about gaming news, and it's about GeForce Now, which is NVIDIA streaming service, which has been in the news a lot because it came out of beta. Now, again, it's $5 a month, unlimited, and then there's a free one that gives you 60 minutes. Is it a day or is it a week?
I think it's a day.
But basically allows you to stream games you already own. You still have to buy the games. You don't get like access to a library of games like Xbox's, what is that called? I don't know.
Game Pass.
Yeah, Xbox. It's not like Xbox Game Pass. It allows you to stream games so you can stream them on like a phone, or you can stream them on an underpowered device like a laptop or a MacBook or something like that, where you can play your AAA title at super crazy things. And if you have a good enough internet connection, you'll be able to play it. So the first little bit of news is that probably the most hyped game coming out this fall, Cyberpunk 2077, is coming to GeForce Now, and it will be available day one. So you can buy this game. If you have GeForce Now, you can install it day one, and you can stream it to your Android phone if you really wanted to play it that way.
I think that's really cool for this game because from what it looks like, the game's going to like run awesome if you have great hardware, right? And so folks that don't and just want to play on their potato but want everything cranked up are going to be able to do it. I think that's pretty awesome.
I knew there was some type of catch with that Cyberpunk 2080 Ti. Cause I was like, yeah, like it's a cool game but it's not out yet. Like, why is this?
Why are we? Yeah.
So this was kind of like the catch there. I think, you know, Yeah. So that's the good news. The bad news is that Bethesda pulled all of their games from the service. So I think from what I understand, publishers were allowed to have their games on GeForce Now through its entire beta phase at no cost to the publisher.
Okay.
But now that it's out of beta, there's a cost associated with having your games on the service. And a lot of publishers are like, no, I don't want to do that.
I see. I didn't realize that was, that makes sense now. Cause yeah. At first I was like, man, why is everybody pulling out? This seems like a no loss situation here. But if they're having to pay to have their games on there, I see the
hesitation. I think that's kind of where it is. And I don't know if they don't see the value yet or whatever. So Bethesda, you know, that is obviously Doom, Fallout, Skyrim, Wolfenstein, Elder Scrolls. The only game that they're leaving on there is Wolfenstein Youngblood. So people can experience it with RTX because it does support real-time ray tracing. So again, the GeForce Now hardware can do that. And this is after Activision Blizzard pulled their library as well. So that was obviously like,
that's wow. Pretty big hit. Two big hits.
Yeah, two pretty big hits. So GeForce Now is kind of looking rocky from Nvidia. I mean, getting, you know, Cyberpunk day one is a big deal because I think it's going to be a massive game. Maybe they worked it that way. Maybe it worked the other way where GeForce is like, we need the biggest game to come out. We need to make a deal with them. And maybe CD Projekt Red was like, make a custom graphics card for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To like get some type of trade-off. If we're going to pay you to have if we're going to pay you to put the game on GeForce Now, like we need some type of trade-off maybe.
And I mean, this service isn't like you just pay a monthly fee and you get access to these games. You still have to own them, right? They're just running on that service. So, I mean, if you can convince those companies maybe to come back or, you know, say, hey, like you've got these people that maybe wouldn't buy your game because they don't think that their machine's going to run it or run it very well, right? When they can just buy the game, spend essentially a rental fee for hardware, you know, I don't know. We'll see how it goes over time. I'm still not a big
believer
in it yet. And I watched a couple of videos. I think it was Kyle. He was testing it out, and he was having some serious lag with stuff. And then he realized he was running his network across his power lines. So
I think I still have access. Yeah, if you want to try it out, we could try it out. If you want to, I know your internet's faster than mine. So. If you ever wanted to try it out. Cool. If you think about it, like how many people play Skyrim? Like a lot
still,
right?
I don't know.
I think that's the big game out of those, and maybe Elder Scrolls is like, those are the two pretty big games out of Bethesda. And then you throw in, you know, WoW and
Overwatch,
like those are massive, and like you're losing all of that. So, you know, I do like the idea of the service. I like the idea that Nvidia has the service. It's not a service using Nvidia hardware, like Nvidia, you know, so when it comes to like troubleshooting and everything, like it's all there, you know what I mean? Yeah. So Oldman says Google Now blows Stadia out of the water. I haven't seen much on Stadia since it was like announced and released.
And launched and
yeah.
It was a dumpster fire.
Yeah. And he said PC games are cheap. Yes. Steam sales are amazing, but I don't play. Like,
no.
And all the free Epic games, old man, if you don't have the Epic Games launcher,
I haven't been checking
on this week, one of the Assassin's Creed games was free. So if you want to check that out as well.
Yes, I do.
I have, I think, over 50 games on Epic, mm-hmm. and I only play.
I stopped playing Fortnite, so I haven't checked
for
the free games in a while. Who knows what I've missed?
Yeah. So, but yeah, guys, that is it for news this week. Coming up next week, I tried to get it done this week, but this product uses a Molex connection, which I had literally. I have like 6 power supplies. I had no clue where a Molex power connection was, so I had to go and buy. I actually have them sitting in front of me from Amazon. I had to buy these little adapters, which, yeah.
Those are, that's pretty nice looking, that white plastic there.
Oh, yeah, on the adapter, yeah. And Lamptron's website is not loading for me, uh-oh. So that's awesome. But I will be checking out the Lamptron SM436 fan controller and RGB hub. This basically allows you to connect up to 4 fans and 8 RGB headers. And you can, and it's a fan controller, but the RGB is just a pass through to the RGB header on your motherboard. And the reason why that's important is because you get 3 different RGB devices from 3 different companies. Most of them aren't like the connection to your motherboard isn't daisy chainable. So you can't daisy chain them and you only have 1 RGB header on your motherboard. So what are you going to do? So this allows you to connect up to 8 to this controller, and then 1 thing from the controller to the motherboard. And then it also has a fan controller, which you can control with a remote. It shows your fan speeds. It shows the percentage that the fan's running. There's also 4 included thermal probes with this, so you can put those throughout the case and have that be displayed as well. It's a pretty cool product. It does have some issues, which I'll talk about, one being that I needed to get these, but we'll go into that in the review. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at that X570 Mini ITX motherboard in the ASRock X570 Phantom Gaming ITX TB3. I love.
It'd be a nice board for that NZXT case.
Yeah, I love these. I just love ITX motherboards. Especially X570 generation, because you're getting Gen 4 and you're getting Gen 4 M.2 on the back of this thing.
System.
Yeah, just this, like, just to think that what you can build with this, especially if you load it up with like a 3900X, again, like a 2080 Ti on this, you have your Gen 4 M.2, like, you know, DDR4, like, just what you can do with this. It has, Wi-Fi 6, so you don't have, you know, you can have the system pretty much anywhere. Just a lot of awesome stuff on this board. So definitely stay tuned for that review. Really excited to tell you guys all about that.
Now, does that board have the fan on the?
It does. You can see it.
Okay, I couldn't tell if there was actually a fan there or not.
It's a small one, but it's there.
Okay.
And it's like a built-in heatsink fan because I think that there's just not a whole lot of space. But yeah, it is there. You can see the little slits for it, but yeah, guys, that is basically it. We come to the end of the podcast and we talk about, did you do anything tech related?
Nope. I just got some more product and got another case. Some
light strip. We didn't talk about our video review for the Define 7. I actually did a video review as well. I didn't even mention it.
It's a really good video. I loved watching it. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I'll bring it up here. Hold on. Let's I'll bring it up.
Anything tech related that I've done in the last week?
There's my pretty face.
There you are. Yep.
And you can check if you're not into reading our tech content. If you know, I did a video review of the Define 7. It shows everything, all the build and you know how everything came out, and you guys can you know go ahead and check all that out. But that's on YouTube. The video is in the review on the in the show notes, so you can check that out. But we did that as well. Cool. I haven't done anything tech related. I'm trying to think. No. I bought these on Amazon.
You bought those.
I've been looking
playing at some games. That's about it.
I've been looking at audio stuff.
Uh-oh. Like home audio or?
Like new microphone setup deal. I've been watching a lot of our friend Epos Vox. He does a lot of streaming guides and stuff. Really good stuff there. But besides that, not much of anything else.
If there's someone to watch and like learn from, he's definitely
He has some really cool stuff out there. So but as I did say, guys, we have our full show notes page that is right here that has everything that we talked about, and you can go ahead and click through and get, you know, all the information. But we'll go ahead and end things here. As I always say, on your favorite podcasting app, websites, it's just Think Computers, all one word. We definitely appreciate it if you would subscribe on either iTunes or any of those services. It definitely helps us out. And if you do like our podcast, leave a review there as well, because it helps us out as well. And if you guys haven't seen, we do have merch. If you want, I'm not wearing my Think Computer shirt, but
I know I'm not wearing it tonight.
We're both wearing red shirts.
I probably think that I only wear, like, that's the only shirt I have, because I've been wearing it like the last, I don't know how many weeks since CES. So.
Yeah. But yeah, we have hoodies. I think our merch shop is better than AMD's. So we have the same things they do. We do have stickers, though. They don't have stickers. We have stickers and we have tumblers. We don't have tumblers.
Hats.
I probably can add in a tumbler on there, I think. I don't know. But we also have, I don't think we have hats either, do we? No, we don't have hats. I want like a hat like this, though.
See,
like a beanie.
Nah, I want a flex fit hat. I don't want a snapback. I like a flex fit. And nobody, I don't know, they're pretty tough to come by, but they're definitely my favorite kind.
We'll see if I can get you one of those with Think Computers logo on it.
What's the, is the sticker the one with the like circuitry design? It's not
there. There is one of those. I don't want to get up. I have some other ones.
It's not this one, is it?
No, we do have that one as well, though. You can get that one. But anyways, guys, we are going to sign off for tonight. You are gaming. Ryan muted himself. Yes, Ryan is gaming, and we will be doing that over on Twitch. I will not be joining him because I just have a lot of stuff to get done. But he is gaming over on Twitch, and he says he wants to play Apex. So,
yeah, you know, you sent me a couple videos of Stone Mountain.
Yes.
And he was using the Spitfire just in a, I don't know, kind of unique way, like very versatile, right? He would spam it up close or at medium range, but then he would essentially single shot it from quite a ways away, a lot further than I would think it'd be effective. So that has me like,
well, if you play, I will watch you while I finish my other work. So
otherwise, I'll do that, or I may hop on WoW and
I don't know if I can watch that, but
it's all right.
But yeah, Ryan will be over on twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. But we are gonna sign off, guys. So we'll see you over on Twitch. So until next week, catch you guys later.